You know, when you're a kid, you remember certain Christmas presents and things like that, right? You know, maybe you had some that were really important to you. Maybe you have a special memory of something that you got. Well, I have a special memory of one present. I think maybe I got it when I was in 7th, 8th, 9th grade, something like that. Somewhere in those awkward years, you know, the Wonder Years. But I remember getting a present from my brother, Joel. Joel was fascinated with China, you know, the country, with the culture. When he was in college, he studied Mandarin, and he actually ended up living in Beijing for a couple years after law school, worked for an American company there. And I remember he came and visited once and ended up bringing back a bunch of things that were really, really neat. All sorts of souvenirs for people, all sorts of items. But even when he wasn't living there, he was fascinated with the culture. Just kind of all things Asian culture. And Joel, one Christmas, after coming back from China, he ended up going to the Little Apache Mall. That's this mall in Rochester, Minnesota, not too far from where I grew up. And I can visualize the place where he got it. But he ended up getting me a bonsai tree from one of those little stands in the mall. You know, they sell sunglasses or, you know, bamboo, like, you know, get your name engrained on like a grain of rice or something like that. He got me a little bonsai tree, and I thought it was so cool. Now, I am just starting to come into my own as having a green thumb. I like plants. But when you're a junior high boy, you probably aren't, the most equipped to handle a plant that's supposed to live to be like centuries old. They're very delicate. I remember this little bonsai tree, how it came in this beautiful little container, how it had little rocks in it for straining out the water if you overwatered. It was just so delicate, kind of dainty. There was something ancient about this thing, something powerful, like it had seen so many years. Well, one of the cool things about bonsais is that you can shape the way that they grow. You can shape it. And this was like a kit. It came with a little pruning shears. Kind of looked like one of those things you'd clip your fingernails with or something like that. Now, you imagine for a minute, I'm in 7th, 8th, 9th grade. I have this delicate little plant with a kit. Do you think I had the patience to prune this thing properly? Probably not. I decided to give old bonsai a haircut one day. I wanted to use those pruning shears. It was like they were burning a hole in my pocket or something. I wanted to shape it in my own image, like a chia pet or something like that. So I took a little off the top. Didn't quite look right. So I went a little further. Still didn't quite look right. And there were just these little buds left. And I thought, you know, when this thing fills out, it is going to be glorious, glorious. Well, it turns out that just a few days later, the beautiful green foliage started turning into this rusty, brown, not so good looking foliage. I had pruned old bonsai just a little too much. This wonder of nature that was supposed to survive like 100 years could not handle 7th, 8th, 9th grade boy. And I was upset. I had killed it by pruning it back too much. You know, I want to share this story this morning about pruning because it reminds me of our scripture for today. Really both of them, but namely the gospel. Because in John's gospel, we hear Jesus talk about being the vine, the true vine, how we are the branches the offshoots of that vine as his people, and how God is like this grove keeper. God is like the one who goes and trims up the vines, the branches, gets all the clutter out of there, the chaff. God is the one who prunes delicately. God is not like me. God does not kill bonsais. But God prunes back the branches that come from the vine so that they can grow good fruit. And I think that this idea of being pruned, even though it sounds kind of scary, even though it sounds like it could be kind of painful, and sometimes it is, it's really a good idea for each of us, as individuals, as families, even as a church, to prune away the stuff that might be getting in the way of our relationship with God, or for living into the fullness that God has hoped for each of us. So I want to talk about this idea of being pruned this morning so that we can bear good fruit as individuals, as families, as a church, because I think it makes sense for us today, and if it doesn't now, maybe it will someday in the future for you. All right? So let's talk about it. Hear the scripture again. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can't do anything. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered, they're thrown in the fire and burned," says Jesus. If I had to summarize this scripture, this is what I would say. I would say Jesus, as the true vine, I think means he's the real deal. Messiahs have come and gone, but he is the real one. God is the vine grower who prunes the vine, a verb that means to cleanse, to clean. The branches that are pruned are members of the community. That's us. Those are the disciples. Those that abide in the vine. God is the pruner, the grove keeper, the vineyard keeper, the gardener. And pruning, as I said earlier, isn't always comfortable, but it is necessary to bear good fruit, and more fruit than you could possibly imagine. And why is Jesus the true vine? I think our scripture tells us that maybe there were other vines that weren't true before him. In a way, he contrasts himself with the community of Israel from the Old Testament that was once called the vine. In a way, I think he's saying that his community, the new community gathered, and us, we are like the new Israel, the new offshoots of the vine. And the branches are part of that vine. They're part of his body. Every branch looks different. Some branches need more pruning than others, but all have the possibility of bearing fruit. And the secret to being a productive branch is your attachment to that vine. You're abiding in Jesus. Your closeness to him and what he did and what he stands for and your relationship with him. And that requires pruning. Let me tell you a story about pruning that doesn't involve plants. And maybe you can think of an experience in your own life that hurt but led to good fruit. I'm sure we all have had those. I remember when I was a clinical pastoral education student, CPE, it's a mouthful, at Emory Hospital in Atlanta, we would meet the other chaplain students and I. It was part of our curriculum. We would meet once a week, and we would get in a circle, all right? And we would sit in silence with a facilitator until somebody would break the silence by sharing a story that happened to them. Maybe something they experienced in the hospital, maybe something they experienced with a patient or with staff, maybe something that was kind of on their heart, something that was bugging them. Usually stuff got pretty heavy in these groups because people needed a space to work out some of the crud that we had experienced. And this group was really diverse. There were people from all different walks of life, people from all different races and ethnicities. Very different folks in this group. And certainly all different religious traditions. And we called this time together interpersonal relationship time. And it often led to arguing until we ironed something out. And if you were catching the heat from the argument, it was an awful feeling to be the one that was getting all the energy, all the attention from the group. Well, during one of our silent times, I thought, meh, you know, this seems pretty dull today. Easy peasy. I wasn't the target of anything. So we went around the room and everybody kind of talked about their day. And there was this gal in our circle that said something was bothering her. "I got a problem," she said. And then she turned over to me and said, "You are my problem." Holy smokes! What just happened? I thought, what in the world? We're friends. What's going on here? Then everything came out. She didn't like the way that I wanted to be her friend. She told the group that I was asking her to come to lunch, always asking how things are going at school, with her family, told me how I violated her boundaries, that she didn't want to be my friend, that she didn't want to have anything to do with anybody from our group. Especially me. Well, this was devastating. I've never had somebody tell me as a grown man to my face that they didn't want to be my friend. And it made me rethink all of the things that I had done. My interactions with this gal. Was it interpreted as something more than friendship? Is it wrong to ask somebody how their family is or how things are going at school? Am I going crazy? Is the world turned upside down? Is something wrong with me? What's going on? I really, really reflected hard on this. And it made me realize that we're not all wired the same. Even though this gal was a classmate of mine back at the university, that didn't mean you were automatically friends with somebody, like I had just assumed. Even though I was really open to sharing things about my family, as I often do here, this was somebody that didn't want that and thought it was violating to have somebody ask them about it. Even though I didn't like to eat lunch on my own, this was an introvert that needed that personal space to decompress. So it was interpreted as this kind of violating experience. And I never would have imagined that. I was just being me. When this happened, this kind of bombshell during that time, and everybody around the room started saying, "Hey, just leave her alone. Hey, what are you doing?" It really hurt. I mean, it brought me to tears. And it really made me rethink the way that I approach other people and befriend people. It felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. I was embarrassed, ashamed. I felt really stupid for just assuming that somebody wanted to be my buddy. But weeks after that difficult initial conflict, it helped me really learn. I grew so much from that experience. It helped me learn about expectations and assumptions, about my interactions with people from the opposite gender. It helped me realize that not everybody's wired the same way as me, and that I have to be gentle. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament, in the prophets, the book of Isaiah, that talks about new life coming from a dead stump, in which this branch shoots out of a stump that's been cut down to the ground where there was no life before. You know, I think in that moment when I was in that circle, it was like I was cut down to the ground. Those words cut me to the bone. But new life shot forth after that. Our scripture talks about pruning. And pruning sounds like it would be painful to a plant, especially if you're, you know, a good old bonsai who didn't make it through that haircut. But pruning, when it is done with care, when it is done with skill, when it is done out of love, leads to new growth and possibility, to new life where there was no life before, and fruit bursting forth from previously lifeless branches. You know, I think when our scripture talks about Jesus as the vine and God as this grove keeper, the gardener, the one who's trimming up the vines, these are helpful images for each of us. All of us are offshoots of Jesus as disciples. We are growths off of the vine. We are his followers, his community. And all of us have had to and maybe need to think about where our dead branches are. Where are the things and what are the things that might need to be pruned back in our lives that might get in the way of us living our lives as disciples, that might be holding us back from bearing good fruit in the world, for living into the fullness of life that God promises each of God's children. I am sure that each of us have something that needs to be pruned back. And if you can't think of something now, I'm sure if you reflect on this week, there is something in your life. Maybe you drank too much, spent too much time on the computer, or played too many video games. It's this guy. Maybe there's something you need to have pruned out of your life. Maybe you worry too much. Or maybe you don't care about anything. Maybe you're dealing with substance abuse or misuse. Maybe you spend too much time on social media, or not very good time on it when you're on it. Maybe you are too critical or negative. Maybe you're a workaholic or you can't relax. Maybe you don't take time for your family or to appreciate the life that you've been blessed with. Maybe you feel you've never had enough or you have too much. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Each of us are unique. There are things in our lives that we're not all proud of. I don't have enough space on one piece of paper for that. I know there's things that have held me back from my relationship with God and for living into being the best person I can be as one of the branches. So my hope for you is that you can think about what those things might be for you. Whether you're 10 years old or pushing 90. We are the branches that have been called to bear good fruit in the world. And if we have X, Y, and Z, all this dead shrubbery, then how in the heck are we supposed to bring forth good fruit? How are we supposed to do what God has called us to do unless we prune some of that away? And pruning hurts. Like that chaplain circle, it hurts. But it shouldn't kill you. Unless you're that bonsai bush, then it definitely killed you. Pruning leads to new growth, to new life, to new offshoots from the branches, to good fruit and possibility where there otherwise would just be a dead branch. So my prayer for each of us on this Sunday morning is that we are open to the possibility of being pruned or pruning something out of our lives that we might bear good fruit, that we might bear fruit for God's kingdom as families in this church, that we might have the courage to know that something in our lives might need to be pruned back, and that we are open to God working in this way in our lives, doing what God does, pruning back the dead shrubbery in order that life might take hold and burst forth and shoot out of us. Amen? All right.